Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The nominees for the coveted Czech Lion National Film Awards have been announced. A pirate MP is to push for legalizing the therapeutic use of LSD, ecstasy, and magic mushrooms. And star operatic soprano Nadezhda Kniplova has died at the age of 87. The nominees for the Czech Lion National Film Award were announced on Wednesday morning. A theater play about a co-op board adapted to film called Owners received 12 nominations. World War II epic drama The Painted Bird got 11. And Old Timers, about a geriatric pair seeking revenge on a communist-era prosecutor, received 10 nominations. All three films have been shortlisted in the Best Film and Best Director categories. The award ceremony takes place on March 7th at Prague's Rudolfinum. Czech opposition MP Tomáš Vymazal plans to propose legislation to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, as well as prescribing psychedelic mushrooms, ecstasy, and LSD. The opposition MP argues that such drugs can be used in therapy to help people suffering from post-traumatic stress disorders, such as soldiers. The historic Prague 1 district has a new mayor following the ouster of Pavel Chizinski of Praha 1 Sobie. Taking over his role is Petr Hajma of the Mayors and Independents, who was previously a first deputy mayor. Following the shakeup, Praha 1 Sobie and two other parties, the Pirates and the Greens, are now in opposition. The internationally renowned Czech soprano Nadezhda Kniplova has died at the age of 87. She joined the Prague National Theatre Opera Company in 1964 and, after appearing at the Salzburg Festival in 1967, was offered many roles abroad. Later in life, she was also a professor at the Prague Music Academy. In 2011, she refused to accept a Lifetime Achievement Award, arguing that she should have been given it much earlier. Esther Ledecká has taken second place in her first Snowboard World Cup race of the season at the Austrian resort of Bad Gastein. She lost to Germany's Ramona Teresa Hofmeister in the women's parallel slalom event by a mere 0.63 seconds. Ledecká, a double Olympic gold medalist who began her professional career as a skier, on Saturday finished eighth in the Alpine Ski World Cup speed event on another Austrian slope, in Altenmarkt Zauchenzi. The Czech Central Bank expects some crown firming ahead, but not as strong as in the previous years, rate setter Wojtek Benda said Wednesday, speaking at an economic conference in Vienna. Reuters reports that he said the Czech currency should continue to gradually strengthen, but probably not at the same pace seen in 2008 and 2009, the time of the global financial crisis. On Wednesday morning, the crown gained past a key level against the euro to touch a seven-year high as markets priced in rising chances of an interest rate increase this year. And finally, the weather. Cloudy skies are in the forecast across the country for Thursday, while freezing rain is expected in Moravia in the morning. Daytime highs should range between 5 to 9 degrees Celsius. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Republic is seeking to broaden business ties with India, and the well-known traditional Czechoslovak brand seem like a good place to start. And Czechs are showing solidarity as bushfires continue to ravage Australia. Later on, we'll bring you an interview with Iranian-born filmmaker Bayam Razi. So please do stay with us. Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček completes his three-day official visit to India on Wednesday, during which he and his delegation primarily sought to strengthen mutual ties, especially in the field of business. Martin Hříbek from Charles University's Institute of South and Central Asia points out that while bilateral ties go a long way back, in many areas relations had to be rebuilt from scratch after 1989.
After the revolution, first what came was a really sharp decline in the visibility of Czechoslovakia in India. then the division of the country led to further fragmentation of our missions, scaling back of representation in India. And it wasn't until we joined the EU that, again, you can see an upward trend, which sort of culminates in the last years. After the visit of the President of India, Ramnath Kovind, to the Czech Republic in 2018, we've seen a string of high-level visits between the two countries, including our Prime Minister in India and nowadays our Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Today, India is one of the Czech Republic's biggest trading partners in Asia. What are the main commodities exported to India from the Czech Republic?
It's mostly machinery. It has been mostly machinery. And vehicle parts, partly also products of chemical industry and sophisticated equipment for research. Some of the most well-known Czech brands in India are the Skoda cars, of course, and then the Tatra trucks, which serve as a mobile launchers of Indian missiles for the Indian Army. Also, the Czech glass is very famous. That's a tradition which goes back to the times of the Maharajas, who used to buy chandeliers made in Bohemia. And even nowadays, the Bohemian crystal has a very good name in India and quite an important part of export.
What about the imports from India? What do you think Indian companies find interesting about the Czech Republic?
Well, what India exports to Czech Republic, it's textiles. That's a large chunk of the composition of the export, but also pharmaceuticals, iron pipes and metal products. But increasingly, the larger proportion of Indian export to Czech Republic is products with higher added value and also some agricultural products like grapes, rice, leather, and so on.
Ahead of his trip, Foreign Minister Petříček tweeted that the main goal of his trip was the development of relations, especially in economic field. In what areas do you see potential for further cooperation between the two countries?
I think the potential is really underdeveloped if you look at the size of India and the size of Czech trade with India compared to the Czech trade with the rest of the world. There is a big potential in tourism. There is a big potential in those products which we have traditionally been able to place in India. Like, for example, the Java motorbikes. They have been really famous in India and they are really popular. So you have today you have clubs of old bikers with the old Java motorbikes. And that's something which is being revived in recent years. And if that picks up, if we can really follow the tradition which we used to have in those brands and in those sectors of economy, that I think could lead to really great increase of the trade relations.
Martin Hříbek from Prague's Charles University speaking there to Ruth Frankova. Moving on now, as bushfires continue to ravage large parts of Australia, people across the world are donating money to help in the relief efforts. This is also the case here in the Czech Republic, where millions of crowns have been raised through various institutional and individual pledges. Prague Zoo alone has raised more than 4.7 million to help local fauna. Tom McEncrow has the details.
The hose is burnt! The hose is burnt!
Thousands of homes and around 180,000 square kilometres, more than twice the size of the Czech Republic, have been burned since large-scale bushfires started ravaging Australia last year. Aside from the 29 confirmed human deaths, around 1 billion animals are estimated to have been killed by the fire as well. And so, with the enormity of the disaster apparent, people around the world are donating large sums of money to help those affected. In the Czech Republic, funds are being raised through multiple donations and fundraising initiatives. Perhaps the most visible internationally are the pledges by tennis stars Petra Kvitová and Karolina Plíšková, who have vowed to send some $150 Australian and $200 Australian respectively for each ace they score in tournaments currently taking place in Australia. Meanwhile, the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs has sent 2 million crowns. Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček said that the funds are primarily intended to help people who have lost their homes, as well as for fire protection support. An even larger contribution has come from the Prague Zoo. Aside from $10,000 raised through a special program that dedicated 3 crowns from its entrant fees into funding, the zoo has also managed to raise millions of crowns by setting up a public donation fund, says director Miroslav Bobek.
The Prague Zoo first called on the public to support the Australian fauna decimated through the fires via direct pledges, and we mentioned a specific fund in Australia. However, the public urged us to also start our own collection and then spend the funds on the most important relief projects. We did this in just over a week, and more than 4.7 million crowns have been raised. That sum is likely to continue growing. It is intended for acute help to animals affected by the fire, as well as support for endangered species, which have survived the fires in small numbers and will need help, for example, in the form of zookeeping under human supervision.
Local communities are also organising funding programmes. For example, the Down Under, an Australian-themed bar in Prague, hosted a fundraiser for bushfire relief organised by the Prague Dragons football team, with a percentage of the sales proceeds also going to animal relief. One of the bar's partners, Vojta Hasha, says the business is now preparing for another fundraiser ahead of Australia Day.
On Australia Day, which is coming up on the 26th, but we'll be celebrating on the 25th here, it's a Saturday, and CANZA, which is the Czech Australian New Zealand Association. Obviously, every year organises a big party, the biggest party day of the year in Australia. But this year, they'll be doing a big fundraiser for WIRES, which is an organisation that is raising money for the animals that were affected as well.
Aside from funds raised directly in the country, many Czechs are likely to have donated directly to the various international initiatives, although in this area, the total amount remains unclear.
Tom McEncrow with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. As of today, our half-hour English language broadcast is also going out on FM on Radio Positive in Tbilisi. So a special greeting to our new listeners in Georgia. If you'd like to check out what Radio Prague International has to offer, and believe me, there's plenty, you'll find us at radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague International on Facebook and Twitter. So a big hello from Prague to Tbilisi. Welcome on board. Next up on Radio Prague International, an interview with Iranian-born filmmaker Payam Razi. And for that, it's over to Brian Kennedy.
Screenshot, a new Prague arthouse cinema and exhibition gallery, is the beloved brainchild of Iranian-born filmmaker and FAMU International grad Payam Razi. He stepped down as Radio Free Europe music editor in December to devote his energy to the hybrid space. All screenings, he says, are English-friendly events for film lovers eager for a festival-like shared viewing experience. Screenshot is working with venerable Czech institutions such as the National Film Archive and Institute of Documentary Film, Kinodoc, and the ongoing popular Iranci Film Festival. I began by asking Payam Razi, the son of a cinematographer, about his personal journey to Prague.
The first time I was on a film set, I think I was about 5 years old. My father, as a DOP cinematographer, was working on a feature film, and that was the first time because nobody was at home taking care of me. My dad had to take me with him to the set. As usual, the shooting took long, even past midnight, and that was the moment I started feeling fascinated, seeing all these people with this energy working together. I was not really aware what would be the outcome until a month later we went to see the rushes, the first footage. And when I saw the result, I understood the magic.
And just for reference, this was what year?
Roughly about 1986, 87. And so since then, I started watching a lot of films. My dad was very eager to educate us with international cinema. It was a ban in Iran at that time for VHS players and VHS tapes, so it was not easy to get those. But my dad had his own connections, so we slowly started watching a lot of good films from Tarkovsky's to Kieslowski's to Emir Kusturica's to Alain René to French cinema, and slowly we had a culture at home about films. We would argue about films. When I was 13, there was this question about your future profession, and I was really sure at that age that I want to be a filmmaker.
And did you also have the feeling that you wanted to leave Iran, or that you couldn't realize your dreams in the country?
I have to say, I have never really thought that I have to leave the country. The film industry, as we all know in Iran, is very alive, and I think about 10 years ago, Iran had the seventh most, let's say, active film industry in the world. So I still, until today, I believe if I would stay in Iran, I would have my second feature film already by now. I would get offers like 3 or 4 feature films a year as an assistant director, but some very strange incident happened. I had a very good friend. She's a very well-known Iranian actress now. We were spending time in this village. We were shooting the film. It had beautiful walnut gardens. And after the shooting, we would just take a little bit of slivovice with us, and we would go to these gardens, and we would sit and read poetry. And it was a very pure and innocent connection we had. But the moment we returned to Tehran, the news came that these two were having some stories. This turned the whole experience of being involved in the film industry quite bitter for me. And at that moment, I was, like many other Iranians, because of oppression of the society, I was dealing with a lot of depression. And at that moment, India seemed a fine choice for me to go, calm down, meditate, reconnect, and return back home. Until that point, I would never imagine that I live my life fully abroad.
Did you have some exposure to Bollywood, as it were, or did you know what you were getting into when you moved to India?
Not at all. Bollywood was not considered intellectual enough back home for us. I remember I got in touch with 2 film schools at Pune and Mumbai, but then I realized that because of what I had as experience, those schools would not offer me much. So I started traveling. I did 3 documentaries in 3 different parts of India and 1 in Nepal, in Kathmandu. It had an enormous effect on how I looked at the world. I became calmer, braver, happier. 3 years after I moved to India, I applied for 7 universities around the world. FAMU was one of the choices. And because I was familiar with the Central European, Eastern European cinema, I was interested to apply for this school too.
For directing?
Yes, I did directing, yeah. FAMU International. Mm-hmm. You know, my knowledge of Czech was 0. So I came for FAMU International directing 2006. February, I arrived in Prague.
So tell me a bit about your FAMU experience. I imagine you got there with a lot more practical and theoretical experience than the average student by a long shot. How did it gel with the Czech style?
Frankly, it was very disappointing the first 2 weeks when I got to FAMU. 3 months prior to arrival, I was preparing a sort of a thesis discussing the future approach to filmmaking. And when I got to FAMU, I just saw 19 years old classmates basically seeing cameras maybe for the first time or getting to know the very basic editing techniques. But very quickly I managed to meet a lot of Czech professionals, older generation. Very quickly I felt these are the guys I can work with. And finally I worked with a very good Czech cinematographer who's a good friend of mine until today, Dalibor Fencel. Well, the result was it got me at the end of the year. I applied with that film for Berlin Film Festival Talent Campus. That year, I think it was me and Gustavo, a friend from Bolivia. We were the 2 representing Czech Republic that year, I guess.
What was the theme of your film? Were you looking back at life in Iran from a considerable physical and perhaps emotional distance, or was it Czech-influenced?
There was an actual part that was a documentary. I don't know if you remember, 1st of May 2006, the demonstration in Prague got quiet out of hand, and a journalist was attacked. It made news around the world. On that day, me and an American cinematographer were shooting Super 8mm film, black and white. And I knew that I want to base something on these images. The approach I had in filmmaking, it had something to do with the Iranian approach. And I remember the head of the directing department, Ivo Trykov, he was excited about the script. He was getting very excited the first 10 minutes of the film. And then at some moment, he would scream at me, if you want to really do this in the film, go back to Iran and make your films there, because this is not what you're supposed to do there.
And what was it that you were trying to do in the Iranian style that he so objected to?
The symbolism I had in the film was too strong. You know, East is generally deals with symbols and symbolisms a lot. It was a bit exaggerated in my film. It's the story of an old man and a young girl, parallel stories that we see. Old man dreams of the past, keeps watching the same roll of film again and again at home. And the girl is alone. She's almost at the puberty and experiences her first menstruation. These two stories, parallel to each other, happens when there is a demonstration. People are singing Cherny Billy, get together. White, black, get together. There were some shots that there is this window opening and the light comes into the rooms, both of them, like how Sean Penn's short film about 9/11 was. If you remember, the buildings, they fall down and the actual light of truth comes through the windows. It was very influenced by that, but I think it was quite exaggerated. Yeah. Meanwhile, in studying here, I met a lot of Iranians who worked at Radio Free Europe. There was an offer to be a sound man for an American independent film. Somebody called me from Barrandov. I went there and I met some people and I started working as a sound designer for this American film. It was low budget. We were shooting at Vostovskaya Amnesty. I do not recall the name of the director, a very strange man with a lot of passports. He was in Iran during the revolution. He was a man who was in Russia. He was in Cuba. He had a Russian passport in America. And the name of the film was Victory Day. And he was the main character, too.
So you could tell me more, but you'd have to kill me, basically.
Yes, sure. We were shooting at the center of the city. And, of course, I was holding the boom, and I had a headphone and everything. And I got a call from Radio Free Europe. The head of the Persian service was going home, and he saw me with the headphone, and he thought I'm good with sound. So they asked me if I can work, not behind the mic, but at the studio. I was sure that my name is not going to be anywhere, so perhaps it wouldn't be a big deal. I worked for 6 months, and when Berlinale happens, I go to Berlinale. 4 months after I started working, at 4 a.m., one of the newscasts, the moderator decided to name the director of the show. He named me, and since that moment, I realized that things are perhaps more serious at this point. And I started working as the editor-in-chief of music, a very long and busy career at Radio Free Europe, which lasted for 12 years.
It continues. So.
I got to the point that I thought, if I want to make a movie in my life, it would be now or never. And so by end of 2018, I officially resigned from the position. Luckily, I still work as a contractor with the radio. I still go 2 days a week. But I had to go through that to be able to dedicate my time and my energy to this new project that we are here to talk about.
Yes, let's talk about Screenshot. Maybe listeners can hear. There's a certain acoustics to this room. We're in the cellar, which is 500 years old.
According to the plans I have, is about 670 years old. It has a lot of stories. It means something really special to me. Iji Polak, my good friend, and I, we spent so much time here, but we taught a lot about how to approach this space. A screenshot for every filmmaker or every film enthusiast. We all dream of having a space to be able to show great films. I don't think the idea is a very new thing, but you just have to be a bit bold these days at the time of Netflix and HBO Go and Amazon Prime to still believe that people would like to share experience of going to movies together and to watch films which are like less likely to be commercially successful. A part of the idea was shaped according to how this building is designed. Drinking and watching a film, I think, is always a good idea. They go well with each other. And we had extra space. So exhibition space, which is the smallest room we have there, is going to come to life very soon. There are exhibitions scheduled. We would like to develop this plan to have a specific set of music or musicians related to the screenings. Compared to the films that we love to show here, I think that the size of our screening room is suitable, 41 seats. It is maybe sad to say, but it's not easy to imagine more people would show up for some specific independent films, documentaries. So many of the organizations or institutes which are dealing with sort of films are somehow in trouble. And therefore, many of them have kindly approached me since this space is open because they think that they have a new home to screen valuable images. And we share that opinion about this cinema.
The soft opening was in September, and you've already had a few dozen screenings.
Sure.
You could maybe tell us about the first program that you put together.
Right. Basically, one thing that I thought generally was missing in Prague was sort of cinematheque, let's say, looking back at 80s, 70s. There were a lot of fantastic small cinematheques. It was less copyright issues. There were more small films coming here and there, and people were more open to experimental cinema. I did not find that space in Prague dedicated to films which are either in English or have an English subtitle. And when we were planning this from a year ago, meanwhile I was just building this place, I met with a very good friend, Milan Dostal. And I started this conversation because I thought if we want to introduce ourselves as this sort of space to the Czech society, to the Pragers, it would be nice if we pay our respect to, firstly, Czech independent and new wave and interesting films that, unfortunately, many of them have been seen on TV with bad quality or never with English subtitle. At the same time, we were very lucky that the National Film Archive a few years ago started to restore many of these titles and added English subtitle to them, but none of the cinemas in Prague scheduled them for any screening. So the idea of introducing Czech cinema to the expat community here was a very exciting idea. So we created a program called Czechs Through the Lens. I always believe it is all about presentation. If there is a film starting at 8 p.m. and you just go see the lights turn off, there is a film and finish and people just get out and the conversation might be just about where do we eat now or where do we drink. If you create an atmosphere to engage people, the whole experience changes its nature. It's not an entertainment anymore. It is some sort of educational meeting that you feel you're engaged with it. So Milan has been very kind. For every single title that we have shown, we had an introduction, and we try to start a Q&A afterwards. I'm very hopeful in the future we would have people involved in making those films or critics from other cities in the world. These are all plans we have for the future. When there is a film festival in Prague, it's very difficult to find tickets in the last few days. The big cinemas are packed, 400 seats, 500 seats are gone. 2 weeks after the festival is over, the same film is being screened in some cinemas and you just find 7-8 people show up to see that film. That shows people want to be part of an event. And if every screening can be an event and offers more than just 90 minutes of motion picture, engages you, we think this is going to attract more people to come to Screenshot. And that is the reason we do not have screenings every day. And from next month, we are going to work with the Institute of Documentary Films in Prague. And we scheduled a joint festival with Kinodoc. We are hoping to create more events than screenings and engage the attendees.
Speaking of events and screenings, for that matter, we're speaking just ahead of the Iranzi Film Festival.
Yes, it's the 9th edition of Iranzi, and this time the Screenshot is around. And we are very happy to be one of their screening rooms this year. And I'm very excited. We are looking forward because I have been witnessing how difficult, careful, precise this selection has been. The director of the festival is a good friend of mine. Kaveh, the director, is a very experienced filmmaker himself. After 9th edition, you can imagine that he knows the society here, what people would enjoy to see. At the same time, he remained faithful to what is important to show from Iranian cinema. At the Screenshot, we will have 6 screenings starting on 16th of January. All the short films, 9 of them, that are taken by the festival this year in 2 days, and 2 documentaries and 2 feature films. This is, so far, is the most important festival we are hosting because I think film lovers in Prague, they know the festival very well and tickets are running out.
Iranian-born filmmaker Payam Razi speaking there to Radio Prague's Brian Kennedy. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. And, of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Danielle Lazarova saying thanks for joining us today and take care.